Wow. I love when we can press into worship the way we just did, and we can, like Willie talked about, put it down, you know? When we can put it down and just zero in on Him, there's something so freeing about that and so powerful. And so I'm just thankful we could do that. Thank you, worship team, for your faithfulness in just pointing us to Jesus week after week. Lights on, lights off, doesn't matter. Thank you. Yeah, give it up. If you're going to give it up, give it up. Thank you, guys. So thankful for you. So I wanted to let you know, if you are somewhat new to Oak River, or if you've never become a member, maybe you've been here a long time and you've never become a member, or maybe you've been here a long time and you are a member, but you would like to remind yourself of why we do what we do. In 2 weeks, we have a class for you. It's called River Life, and we just basically talk about our mission and vision and passion and our values, why we do what we do, and how you can become a member and get the special brass seating available for members only, being a little facetious there. But I would love to have you come to that. It'll be immediately following the service, 2 weeks from today, April 7th, and if you come, we will provide lunch for you. It's about 2 hours in length, but you get lunch in the process. But because we provide lunch, we need to know you're coming. So if right now you're like, maybe I should come to that, then you text right now. Take out your phone. You have permission. Take out your phone and text 440-248-1311. River Life 1, I'm in, or something like that. Okay? Just type 440-248-1311, and then River Life 1 or River Life 2, how many ever people you're coming with. We'd love to have you join us for that. So this week, or last week, I guess it was, Megan shared a testimony with me about when she was praying for the ABC streets and something that God did. And I said, Megan, would you share it with us? And she goes, yeah, I'll share it. So I've asked her to come and share her awesome testimony of God speaking to her during her prayer time.
Hey. Okay, so a couple of weeks ago when we first started praying for our streets, there was one morning where I was praying, and I was kind of like not sure how to pray at first. I was just silent. And I just, you know, said the name of the street out loud to the Lord. And I started to get the sense that there, there are some people in the homes on that street that were feeling unnoticed. And that's kind of something as a stay-at-home mom that I go through at home, you know, like you talk and nobody notices you. And you, oh my gosh, yeah. All the ladies laugh that are moms. Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay. So I started praying into people that were feeling unnoticed. It didn't have to be moms, you know, just people go through that. And so then I kind of like, the Holy Spirit was just was really heavy and really strong, and it led to me praying into the fact that there was someone in that moment that I was praying that was feeling that they had no worth and no purpose, and that they were deciding about what to do with their life in that moment. And so they were contemplating their life in that moment. Before I knew it, I'm kind of going to read a little bit, but before I knew it, the Holy Spirit had come so strongly, and I was praying in tongues with this crazy authority, like it was a spiritual intervention. And it was so strong, I almost can't describe it. But I was getting this image in my mind. The Lord gives me pictures and images a lot. And I was getting this like blurry image of my mind of a person in a dark room, just on their hands and knees on the floor, just feeling so worthless and so empty. And so I just kept praying and I began to cry and I was interceding for this person. It was really like strong for maybe 3-4 minutes. Maybe even 5. I don't even know. And then the last part of it, like I felt like there was a breakthrough. I felt this freedom. I felt lightness. I felt victory. And then I just like took a deep breath. I was like, oh wow, that was so good, God. I don't know where that came from. And then He gave me something else that I started praying into. The fact that there are at least a couple of homes on the street that had family members that felt like the only way that they could provide for their families were in illegal or immoral ways. They felt they had no skills. They felt they had nothing, no education that they could offer to have a real job, and that these ways were their only ways. This was their only way to provide for their families. And my heart broke. You know, like we all have days where we don't feel very good about ourselves, but to feel completely like you have nothing to offer, but you need to take care of your family. So I found myself praying into that for those people, that they would have a holy conviction, not in a make you feel bad way, but in a way like, I have to stop this. I have to stop. I have to stop, and that it couldn't go on any longer. So I pray that the Father would show them their worth, show them what skills they do have, show them what they are capable of and what they can do instead of what they can't do. I've just continued to pray into that these couple of weeks, and anything else that the Lord has brought into my mind, into my spirit for the families. But it was so powerful, guys. I walked away from that. Like, that was the beginning of my day. I'm like, okay, I'm done. You know, like, all right, Lord. So I love that the Lord, like, you know, you don't even know what to expect, and He gives you major downloads sometimes. It's so awesome. So, yeah.
Thank you for sharing that with us, Megan. You know, just keep that in mind as you pray for your street that you've adopted. Keep your heart open to what God might be telling you about that street. I've had some similar experiences, not like that, but different. But I've had moments where I felt like God was giving me real clear expressions on what how to pray for the people that I was praying for. And so, God, we just come to You as a corporate body right now. We pray for these streets that You've given us to adopt. And God, we thank You that You tell us our prayers are powerful and that they can cause breakthroughs even if we never meet that person. Our prayers, because they're in You, can cause major breakthrough. And so we pray for breakthroughs in the ABC neighborhoods. God, I pray for Solon High School and Arthur Road Elementary, those schools that are in that neighborhood as well, that there will be spiritual breakthroughs towards You, God. That You will increase the influence of people who know You and love You. And God, I thank You that You will give us a greater capacity to love that neighborhood and a greater capacity on what You're asking us to do for that neighborhood. And we bless our streets right now. We thank You for the favor You're pouring out on them. We thank You, God, that You have already promised that there will be salvations, there will be healings, and there will be provisions that take place in those homes. And we thank you for that and partner with you and stand in faith in agreement with you for what you've promised. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Keep praying. I read somewhere that if I'm remembering this correctly, it's been a long time, that someone was praying one time and God let them see their words in physical form coming out of their mouth and going across the world to meet that need. Like they could see their words physically coming out of their mouth and going to meet that need. And that's what it reminded me of when you shared, Megan. So keep praying. So I'm going to continue our series today on seasons and seeds because we have a theme for 2019. Do you know what it is? Grow, shine, right. We are reading the red, but Grow, Shine 2019 is our theme for the whole year. And so if we're going to grow and shine, we need to talk about seasons and seeds. Because you can't grow without seasons and seeds, right? And so today I'm going to talk about rest and labor. The first season, the season of rest, point number one. But I want to tell you, every other season I've talked about seeds that you plant during that season. Rest isn't like that. Rest is actually a time when you don't plant, but you rely on what you've already planted. Okay? So we don't plant seeds during seasons of rest. The season of rest is already the result of seeds we have planted. Okay? And it's a big deal. In Hebrews 4, 1 through 3 in the Passion Translation, it says, "Now God has offered to us the same promise of entering into his realm of resting in confident faith. So we must be extremely careful to ensure that we all embrace the fullness of that promise and not fail to experience it. For we have heard the good news of deliverance just as they did, yet they didn't join their faith with the word. Instead, what they heard didn't affect them deeply, for they doubted. For those of us who believe, faith activates the promise, and we experience the realm of confident rest." So rest can happen because we have planted seeds of belief. Now that word in the original Greek is much different than just a mental assent, right? We hear the words, "I believe in God." And what people mean when they say that is, in my mind, I think there is a God. That's not what this is talking about. It's a totally different word. The Greek word is pistuo, I believe. P-I-S-T-E-U-O. And it means to be fully persuaded, to rely on. It means unwavering confidence, to place trust in. So if you have planted seeds of belief, you are able to enter into rest because you have put your unwavering confidence in God, your unwavering trust in his ability to work it out. I was teasing a few people before service, and I'm like, I'm preaching on rest today. I hope nobody sleeps while I'm preaching on rest. Because we get confused on those two words. Rest is not a power nap in the spirit. It's not that. Although I've needed some power naps in my day. Sometimes they last more than 20 minutes, too. That's not what it's about, though, in this case. A season of rest is when you stop your own labors. You put it down. I'm going to remember that. I'm going to hear the Father's voice, "Put it down." Because I usually don't listen the first time either. Like Willie, it usually takes me a few times to get it, you know. Put it down. That's what rest means. It means put it down. And then in verses 9 through 11, it says, "So we conclude that there is still a full and complete rest waiting for believers to experience." I'm not talking about rest and peace. after you take your last breath either. I'm not talking about that, okay? We get that too, but we don't have to wait till we take our last breath to rest in peace. As we enter into God's faith rest life, we cease from our own works just as God celebrates his finished works and rest in them. So then we must give our all and be eager to experience this faith rest life so that no one falls short by following the same pattern of doubt and unbelief. Do you see that you can't have seeds of unbelief and have rest? Doesn't work. Because if you have seeds of unbelief, you're going to constantly be the one trying to make it happen. Make me happen, Captain. You know? Like, that's so much a part of our Western thinking. Make it happen. It's up to you. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. That's not what rest is about. In that passage, we see that we can get the season of rest by ceasing our own works. Ceasing our own works and by seeds of quiet confidence in his finished works. Seeds of quiet confidence in his finished work. Whenever I have doubt or unbelief, I don't have rest. I don't have peace. And it was so interesting this week because just a couple of days ago, I saw this quote from Graham Cook, and it was about rest, of course, because he's a big believer in talking about rest. If you've ever listened to any of his teachings, he deals with rest a lot. He says that rest is actually a weapon against the enemy, that the enemy cannot penetrate your peace when you're in a season of rest. Can't happen. But here's what he said that I really liked. It says, rest is always like a prepared space that has an agenda. It's not Netflix. He doesn't say that. I'm adding that. It's not that. It's not binge watching. It's not that. God always has an agenda in your rest. He always wants to give you rest for something, not just to be only, but to do. He wants to give you rest so that you can overcome. He wants to give you rest so that you can believe for something. He wants to give you rest so that you can just be with him and relax. Rest always has an agenda. That's why it is important for us to allow our spirit man to be lost in awe and to sit speechless in God's presence. That's rest. To be lost in awe and to sit speechless in God's presence. Not make it happen, Captain. Not that. Not that. This is how I fight my battles. I have found rest to be the most singular, effective weapon in my life, right up there with worship. And I'm kind of convinced worship can only happen in rest. Because I take my eyes off my works and I put my eyes on his works. So you see, worship and rest are kind of partnered together. Rest is such a beautiful thing. I just challenge you in the coming week, every day when you're starting to feel bleh, you know, we all have those moments. When you're starting to feel or like, oh, I got to get this done. I'm overwhelmed. I want you to remind yourself that rest has an agenda. And take 5 minutes, take a power rest where you stop from your own labors, you stop relying on your methods, your strategy, your plan, your agenda, and you say, God, what do you want to teach me in this moment? What do you want to show me in this moment? What do you want to do in me in this moment? and you take a 5 minute, 5 literal minutes, 5 minute power rest, and you see how your day changes. This is a test. This is only a test. Just see what happens. Just see what happens. Oh, I got to do this. I got to do that. I got to do this. Believe me, I have a to-do list. I'm wired that way. I have my to-do list. But there are moments when God says, put it down. Rest. Power rest. Okay. I'm going to count on his finished works, and I'm not going to worry about my works. This is what God demonstrated when he rested on the seventh day. He wasn't tired. He's God. He wasn't tired. He power rested because he depended on what he had done in the first 6 days. That's what he did. It is good. I'm taking a break. And just as surely as we go through seasons of rest, we go through seasons of labor. Oh, let's just leave after the rest. Let's not talk about the labor. That's no fun. But life consists of seasons, different seasons. So what do you do in seasons of labor? Point A, you plant seeds of trust. You plant seeds of trust. What do you trust? You trust that something is being built or born. Okay? I looked up the word labor in Scripture, and almost every case, it was referring to labor that was involved in building something or labor that was involved in a delivery of a child. And you think about that. When you're going through a hard season, if you can say to yourself, self, something is being built or something is being born in me right now, it changes your whole viewpoint. I don't want to jump ahead. So in 1 Kings 9:15 in the New Living Translation, it says, this is the account of the forced labor that King Solomon conscripted to build the Lord's temple, the royal palace, the supporting terraces, the wall of Jerusalem, and the cities of Hazar, Megiddo, and Gezer. And then in 17 through 19, it says, so Solomon rebuilt a city, and not a barn, an entire city. He also built up the towns of Lower Beth Horon. I'm probably butchering these names. I apologize. Words are hard. Baalath and Tamar in the wilderness within his land. He built towns as supply centers. Well, that'll preach right there. What if God is building a town in you right now that becomes a supply center for hundreds of people? Oh. It's so good. And constructed towns where his chariots and horses could be stationed. He built everything he desired in Jerusalem and Lebanon and throughout his entire realm. You see, some of us, we read those verses and all we can think about is the poor conscripted labor. And sometimes when I'm going through labor, all I can think about is the pain. I forget something is being built inside of me that's going to be a supply center for many people. And it's going to be a supply center for my children. And then they're going to have supply centers for everyone they know. And then it's going to be a supply center for my children's children and everyone they know. Do you see the magnified power of that? Oh, it's so good. Brings us to point B. In labor, you plant seeds of a surrendered heart. There's this song that Lauren Daigle sings, and there's these two lines that says, she's talking to God, it's called Rebel. She says, hold me till my best defenses fall.
and watch this rebel heart surrender all. And it gets me. Because sometimes we're trying to read more scripture to get our hearts surrendered, and sometimes we just need to be held, like Willie talked about. We just need to be held by God until our best defenses fall. And watch as our surrendered hearts our hearts surrender all. Colossians 3:22-23 says, "Let every employee listen well and follow the instructions of their employer, not just when their employers are watching, and not in pretense, but faithful in all things. For we are to live our lives with pure hearts in the constant awe and wonder of our Lord God. Put your heart and soul into every activity you do, as though you are doing it for the Lord Himself and not merely for others." That's a surrendered heart posture. That's not, "Why are you doing me this way? Seriously, why are you doing this?" No, it's that whatever you put in my life, if it's a season of labor, I'm going to do everything in my heart as unto you, not in any other way, but as unto you. Even when I think you're not watching, not pretending, genuinely from my heart, I just surrender all of it to you and trust that something is being built and something is being born. Something new is coming, and I don't know what it's going to look like. It's very interesting, because one of the verses that talks about labor without something being built or being born, I happened to read in Isaiah this morning. You know, I think it was chapter 25, but I can't even be sure, because it was one of those thumbing through. And God said about the children of Israel, they writhe as if they're in labor, and all they produce is wind. Some of us writhe in labor, but because it's in our own strength and it's apart from rest in God, we don't produce anything. We don't build anything. We don't get anything new out of the process. Just keep your heart surrendered to Him. Keep planting those seeds of trust as you labor. And then point number three, or C, plant seeds of perspective. Now all the women in here who've ever given birth, you know how this works. Because you have to keep your focal point bigger than your pain. Your focal point does not take away your pain. That was what I thought, and then I had labor, and then I went, that doesn't work. Doesn't do anything for the pain. But what it does is it keeps your mind in the right place. I had this picture with my firstborn that was my focal point. It was a picture of his nursery that I had worked and worked and worked on to get ready. And so when the pain would come, I would look at the picture and I would tell myself, it's going to be worth it. More than I told myself, this hurts. Did it hurt? Absolutely. I was induced labor for 2 days and then a C-section. So I have a labor story, right? But the focal point needed to stay bigger than my pain. And some of us, instead, we just go, I can't so just sit here and cry. Yeah, you can. I've done that. Doesn't get me anywhere. That's the problem. There's nothing to be gained by just sitting there and crying. Do I cry? Absolutely. But I just don't let myself stay in that moment very long. And I certainly don't post about it on Facebook and Instagram. I don't. Because I've found in my life, the more attention I give to the pain,
the bigger it is, and my perspective is not on my focal point, my perspective is on my pain. This passage has just always kind of gotten me in the feels. It's talking about Jesus and how he was the suffering servant in Isaiah 53, 10 through 12. And honestly, there's some stuff in here I don't understand. I don't get it. But that's all right. I don't have to understand everything. It says, but it was the Lord's good plan to crush him. Jesus. Crush Jesus. That doesn't sound like a good plan to me. But it was the Lord's good plan to crush him and cause him grief. Yet, when his life is made an offering for sin, he will have many descendants. He will enjoy a long life, and the Lord's good plan will prosper in his hands. Listen to this. When Jesus sees all that is accomplished by his anguish, he will be satisfied. Can we keep that as our focal point? Not the pain, but all that God is accomplishing in the middle of the pain. And because of his experience, my righteous servant will make it possible for many to be counted righteous, for he will bear all their sins. I will give him the honors of a victorious soldier because he exposed himself to death. He was counted among the rebels. He bore the sins of many and interceded for rebels. Listen, if you're in a season of pain right now, first of all, you're not alone. There's a lot of people in seasons of pain. But look for what is being built or what is being born. Look for it. In your season of rest / labor, ask God, God, can you just give me a little glimpse of what's being built inside of me so I can keep that as my focal point? Now, I'm not talking about you becoming an apostle to the intergalactic nations, you know? I'm not talking about that, because I'm not talking about position. I'm talking about something that is being built in your spirit that is going to feed people, that's going to help people, that's going to strengthen people, that's going to encourage people. And if you say, God, what are you building in me? Or maybe he's birthing something brand new in you that you can't even comprehend. I thought I knew what to expect when I was going to give birth. I didn't. Right? Ah, but I'm so glad for what it was. I'm so glad for what it was. Some of you are in labor right now because something is being born that is new in your life. And God is saying, keep your focal point. Keep your focal point. Stop sitting down and saying, I can so just sit here and cry. And just say, God, I choose to plant seeds of trust, seeds of a surrendered heart, and seeds of perspective right now when I'm going through this. And God, it hurts. It hurts more than I could have comprehended it was going to hurt. But God, I refuse to keep looking at how much it hurts. And I instead trust that something is being built. So I'm going to stay tucked into your arms. I'm going to stay tucked into your presence right now. And I'm going to keep you as my focal point. Even in the contractions. I'm going to keep you as my focal point. Whatever we dwell on is bigger. That's the way it works. That's why there's so many people right now who aren't even believers in God, but they've figured out this principle and they're living by it and their lives are bearing good fruit. Because they figured out the principle that whatever they dwell on becomes bigger. And so they are super positive. I love it about them. I genuinely love it about them. I couldn't live that way apart from Jesus. I'm just saying, I couldn't. But I love that they've tapped into something. I honor that in them. Seriously. We need to get with the program. All of us who are believers, we have something we can hold on to, you see. If you're in a season of rest, rest. Rest. Don't doubt, rest. If you're in a season of labor, look for rest breaks. When I was in labor, oh my goodness. So the very first time I was induced, I told you, and the nurse said to me, she said, you know, we can give you something to ease the pain a little bit. And I'm like, yes, whatever it is, yes. I wasn't into the whole natural thing. No. I'm like, bring it, right? It was too early for the epidural. So so she said, okay, we'll give you some Demerol. It was horrible. Because basically it made me rest in between contractions. I would sleep in between contractions, but then I would wake up on a contraction and go to sleep at the end of the contraction. So it felt like one continuous contraction. It wasn't good. And some of us, I think, that's how we live. We medicate. Oh, I didn't plan to say this. We medicate in the seasons of rest when we should be tucking ourselves into Jesus. And so all we feel is when the contraction starts and when the contraction ends, and your life is one big pain continuum. And Jesus wants to set you free from that living crisis to crisis. He says we go from glory to glory to glory to glory to glory. Not crisis to crisis to crisis to crisis. Woo. I just know, I feel it, I feel it. God wants to set some people free today. I just know it. If that's you, whether you're in a season of rest or labor, but you know God's doing something inside of you because you can feel it. You can feel a physical thing happening in your body right now, and you're not sure what it is, but you just want to embrace it. Just stand up and say, that's me. I don't know what's happening, but God is doing something in my spirit, and I want to cooperate with him. Stand up if that's you. I believe in my heart. Every person standing, you're going to have a breakthrough in this moment that's going to change the course of your life. Not because I said it, because God is that big and he is that good. That you are going to labor differently from this point forward. That God is building supply centers inside of you, that you are going to actually become a supply center for many people to taste the goodness of God. So God, right now, I pray for these people who had the courage to stand up. I pray a blessing over them, Father. I pray that they would actually, in the same way they physically felt something happening in their spirit, they would physically feel your love flowing over them right now, like warm honey falling over them. Flowing over them, and that love would be enough to help them labor well and rest well. I thank you, God, for your gentle reminders that something is always being built if we're in labor, or something is always being born. And so, God, I pray that you would show these beautiful children of yours how much you love them and how much you enjoy the building process. I just got a picture of God playing Legos with you. Like he's building a town inside of you. And he's having so much fun doing it. And he doesn't rejoice in the pain. He rejoices in what's coming from it. Because he can see what's being built. And so you put on a piece, and then he puts on a piece, and then you talk about together what you want to build, and he's building it with you. And it's beautiful. It's so beautiful. Thank you, Father, for what you're doing in every heart. In every life. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be seated. One more thing I want to share with you. So most of you know I teach these Chinese students in the morning. I have a little part-time job that I teach Chinese students before I come to the office. And one of the things they love to do, as we're signing off, they'll go, "Teacher, I love you." And I'll do it back. "I love you." This morning during worship, I was doing this to God, and he was doing it back to me. And I just feel like some of you, you need to see that visual. This is God to you. He loves you. And maybe it feels like he speaks a language you don't understand yet, but this is universal. Everybody knows what this means. So just enjoy it. Enjoy his love over you today. And trust, and Dave talks about smiling at God. Well, while you're smiling, give him a heart. Have a great week. Next week, some of us ladies are going to be at the Castle Retreat, but Dave and Doug have put their hearts and minds together, and they are going to have a worship and healing service next Sunday. It's going to be amazing. It's going to be fabulous. So if you're not going to the Castle, I encourage you to come here next week and just see what God does. It's going to be so good. Have a great week. Love you guys. And see you soon.